It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, my co-host Jeff. Today we are on the topic of conversation of self-DOGE audits. Now, obviously, with the uproar of what's been going on, you know, throughout the different agencies of the government, the DOGE team kind of coming through and showing us, the taxpayers, hey, your money's been going here, there, and everywhere, and obviously that's caused a lot of, controversy from one side or the other as far as, you know, how you may feel about where your money goes and doesn't go. But what if we started taking maybe those same DOGE audits on ourselves? Jeff?
You know, I was thinking about this, that there's no way we're going to break through with a Christian radio station because of Facebook.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All the things that are
too divisive.
Yeah, there's no way. Because listen, again, there's no problem with the way I've carefully purged the unnecessary points.
I don't purge stuff.
Right.
Well, I mean, I do purge some stuff, but I know what you mean.
You really prefer... Okay, how do I say this? You like raw. You like shock.
Yeah, I do like
you
shock.
You like shock.
I do like shock.
And
that's true.
You are incredibly comfortable in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think it's where you thrive. Okay? So you like the provocative.
Mm-hmm. I like provocative attention grabbing.
Yeah, and I don't think it's because you're trying to be the center of attention. But
no,
I
used to like to be the center of attention. So that's where I get it from. But where I've rechanneled that gift, that I think it's a gift anyway, is I like to use it for things now to get people to look at things that they would never otherwise give attention to.
Exactly. That's what I see, is that you're acknowledging the tension that exists that most want to ignore.
Right.
And you'll use... It's like, you remind me of those guys who played the jokes on people, where they would like put construction workers, they'd put like the insulation somehow, like they'll get a hold of their clothes or shirt that they want to change into, and they'll put insulation into it, just rub it in there.
It's everywhere and it's all itchy.
And so then they change out of their work clothes, put that on, like, oh, I'm itching so bad. It's like, that's what you do. You get this itch on people. Mm-hmm. And even if they want to ignore it, they can't help it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's provocative. And
idea is not mainstream. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, so what you're doing too is you're pulling material that's others have created. Mm-hmm. You know, you got in Facebook jail for this, you know, because you didn't make a comment. You just simply posted and said, what do you think? And that's enough right there.
I didn't even say that.
Oh, what'd you say?
Nothing.
Oh, nothing.
I just literally shared it.
You just posted. Yeah,
with no, like,
you broke the
opinion
rules.
Of my own. Didn't ask anyone else for their opinion. Just simply passed it along. Like, take a look.
Yeah, I think that Christians want to live in their bubble, right? Mm-hmm. We're doing all that we can to... It's not just Christians, but we do. We're professionals, dude. We are experts at this. We just want to hear and just want to see what we want to see, and we ignore everything else, unless it's like the fiberglass in our shirt, you know, or underwear. That'd be even worse, wouldn't it? And so then, the
yes,
moment someone like you comes along and puts this stuff out there, it's like, okay, I'm not going to that Facebook no more. I'm done. Or hey, our podcast. I guarantee you that we have talked about some subjects that weren't okay. They were provocative, but they weren't offensive in how we addressed it. And yet, it's so uncomfortable. It's like you would have thought we asked them to go hold their breath for 5 minutes underwater.
Yeah, you're right. I really think that where I saw this methodology work in a positive way, I mean, you can see it working on what I call a negative way. I know most people that would use it wouldn't perceive it negative because it benefits themselves. I understand that. But you can use it easily to attract yourself towards the center of attention, right? All the time. And you can use it in ways that you paint yourself in a good light, a good picture. And you can give people a good perception of you pretty easily, right?
Yeah.
From the surface level. Like it's really not a difficult task. But then where I saw this work in reverse of that for things like, oh man, this is unconventional and it looks really rough and rugged in the beginning, but then you can kind of see in the end, it puts a puzzle together, is President Trump. He loves to bring people kind of entertain, wrestle with them, right? He likes to kind of pull them in, wrestle a little bit, ruffle up the feathers of what's conventional, what always was. And then in the end, you see that, oh, there's a bigger picture to the what I thought was just nonsensical chaos in the moment.
Yeah, you even see that with the way he shakes your hand. Like, there, I forget who it was, what world leader it was, but when he shook his hand, he didn't do the traditional, you know, it's like a dog sniff in a park, you know. He didn't do the, I don't know how else to call it, you know, the traditional, let's go through the formalities. He grabs him by the hand and pulls him close and won't let go. And it's like, yeah, okay. And he makes it unusual. Again, it's provocative, but it's for a purpose. So he breaks through all those formalities. But no, he got me thinking about this. An audit for Jeff. How about an audit for Tyler?
Oh, we're doing Doge audits?
Oh, my. Yeah, let's do audits, man. But it, here's the worst part, though. It's on ourselves.
All right.
All right. So here it is. So,
well, this is a lot better, at least. I'm not going to put the code in the places I don't really want to.
It's less provocative.
Or I've been sending inappropriate funding or something.
But it does require you to be introspective. And if you do it honestly, I think you walk out benefiting from it.
No way.
No, yeah.
So there's actually benefit to some suffering. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely. Right. I think it helps chisel off the pieces that need to go.
Okay. Well, I mean, the Bible says something about it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so here it is. The image I want you to have is a balloon. We all know what a balloon is. There's two states we'll discuss to be simplistic today. There is the state where we are inflated under pressure. What or who is Jeff? Who is Tyler when he's under pressure? And the other one is, okay, and then who are you when you're in your most relaxed state? So when you're not inflated, just sitting there all comfortable and relaxed, which is the best Tyler? The one under pressure or the one in his most comfortable state?
I guess that depends. What are you looking for?
It's an open-ended. It could be whatever you want.
Are you talking, though, in terms of like productivity to get something done? Are you talking in terms of just like being a kind, loving person towards others?
It depends on what you want to talk about. It's wide open.
I think there's the best me that would be in my relaxed state would probably be my most kind, genuine, caring to others. But then under pressure state, I would say is probably my best form of locked in focus, going to accomplish whatever I've set out to do.
It's funny as you... You talk about the calm state. Your voice got real quiet. You're trying to be all calm and chill. So, okay. But what in regard to production, in regard to producing something, where is the ideal state for Tyler? The inflated under pressure or the...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just feel like I need a something to... Kind of like a, I guess maybe this kind of analogy would make sense. Like if you're a boxer, I've always just, not that I'm a boxer, obviously, but I've always imagined if you were in a boxing match, this is kind of how I think of myself. When you take that first hit of boom, all right, you get punched and now you're like locked in, focused under, I kind of feel like that's like the under pressure, ready to lock in and be productive. But comfort doesn't drive that out of me, right? That's where I feel like it's the uncomfortable sense of pressure that makes you move and react and actually produce good results.
Why do we need fire to move correctly?
I don't know, but there's a whole lot of people throughout the story of the Bible that kind of needed fire to move correctly.
You know, literally, yeah. And it's wild because you got to see a side of them that you never would have experienced if they hadn't been in the fire.
I guess I would also say this though, when you're relaxed, calm, and complacent, not although you may be kind, what's your desire to produce more? You're content.
We can all acknowledge, okay, the fire, the pressure, however, whatever analogy you want to use, does bring about sometimes the best in us, sometimes. But why do we run from the fire? Why do we run from the pressure that produces?
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants the feeling of that pressure or that fire to ignite their response. They just want the other side of what comes out of the response.
And then on the flip side, we run to the more comfortable, relaxed state.
Well, sure.
Which makes us unproductive.
Absolutely. In the end, yes. But in the moment, it's comfortable.
It's a weird tension in life, isn't it? I was just sitting there thinking about that today before I came your way.
Would you say you're the same? I mean, do you think the best you is probably in your state of calm and maybe complacency as far as being a genuine, kind, loving person, but then... The best productive you comes out of refinement?
10 years ago, I would say yes.
Okay.
And that's what's caused me to kind of mull through all this is I'm almost thinking the flip side for me is that I'm not sure I like who I am when I'm comfortable.
All right.
Isn't that weird? It's weird for me to say that.
That you don't like who you are when you're comfortable.
And I don't mean that. Okay. I don't mean that in a self-deprecating way. But in my most relaxed, comfortable state, I don't want to leave it. And so sometimes I will sacrifice what should not be in order to stay in that state.
Right.
But when I'm in the fire, when I'm under pressure, it forces me. It doesn't just cause, it forces me to rely upon God to do something I otherwise never would do.
Fair enough. I mean, that's probably also, once again, true about all of us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when we're in a comfortable state that we wouldn't desire in the moment to leave, why would we then make decisions to take us out of that comfort, momentary state?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, think back on your life, decisions that you've made or moments where you're proud of the decisions that you made, okay? You did something, produced something, took a stand over a matter.
Mm-hmm. I would say I was always under pressure.
Right, see yeah, that?
I really yeah. would. I couldn't think of a time that, not that I didn't make a good decision when I wasn't under a state of pressure as far as like, hey, you shouldn't have stole that from the store today and you didn't. Good job. Like, not that, but I'm saying where it was you really actually had to choose one side or the other.
If we can agree then, this pressure cooker that we keep running from is really something we should be running to. What is the next fire you should run to?
I don't know. I just don't look at it like that.
I know. So nobody does. Tell you. Nobody does, right?
I don't look for fires to run to. I look for situations to, I kind of ask God each and every day of like, God, if there's a situation I can, you know, be a difference in, like, I pray that I see and understand what difference I can be. I do agree with you. There is a benefit from being refined by the fire, metaphorically speaking, but I'm also not every day going, can I please be put into the fire? I'm just never going to ask that. I'm sorry. I understand it works. And I understand it's necessary, but it also just goes against like I don't know conventional thinking.
Oh, absolutely does. Yeah, this is not anything you're going to hear anywhere else. Okay, no, we're all planning for our next place on the couch. We're trying to find the lazy boy place, the sit down and just chill.
I think that's a good way to put it. I'm still planning for those things, but I also am understanding and aware that like there are times in which I am going to have to go through the fire, and when I'm there, I try my best to embrace and know that I'm going to receive positive benefit when I'm through the other side.
You know why people watch, right? I study people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to pick on you for a minute. I study you. And here's the funny. You about every 3 to 5 months, you go through a cycle of boredom.
Fact.
You, if there isn't a fight, you'll pick one. Have you noticed that? You do. You will pick one.
Just a debate to spur up, anything. Just to have something to talk about.
Yeah, but it's more than that. Like I think it's you're in search of meaning, and there's a fight in you. And I think there's a fight in all of us. It's not just you. I think all of us have this. But again, because you have such a expressive personality, it's easier to see it in you than maybe other people.
Well, I'm also blessed with a lot more time than most people have, and that's. Mm. That's a great gift to me that I wish more people honestly did have the ability to have. And what I mean by that is I actually just sent you the song today I wrote. It's called The City of the Bees. The whole premise behind the song is how often we get stuck in these mindless patterns and wishing and wanting for something different and something more, but we never make any change. So things always stay the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of, I think with having more time, you get to actually use your imagination and explore things and do things that maybe don't make you money, but you love them. So that you're getting to literally live out your dream.
It gives you a fulfillment.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, for me, I love to do music. So that's my thing. Maybe for you, it's art. Maybe it's quilting, whatever, man.
When you're writing for music, what state are you in? Do you wind yourself up into a place of pressure, or are you real calm and chill?
I would say depends, both, but I'll just go through like, sometimes I'll just have ideas about a song and then I'll sit down and kind of start to work with it, or I'll like have a chorus that I think sounds good. And then I don't really have anything else that goes with it. So I'll just leave it sit on the shelf for a little bit. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? That'll go good here. And then I come back and piece together a little something else in the song.
Okay. So it's almost like a song is like a cycle in life where you're getting the benefit of both sides. Maybe you're sometimes you're in the chill mode and sometimes you're in the pressure zone.
Right. Or sometimes I'll just be in a state of, let's say, reflection, which I would say is more of the chill mode. And I'm just thinking about a time in my life where the circumstance was maybe like this or like that. And then it gives me an idea for a song of like, well, hey, what if somebody else is dealing with this exact same thing you were dealing with, how you eventually got through it? Like tell that in a story.
Okay.
That's about 2 or 3 minutes long.
There's benefit in that pressure place, that fire, that uncomfortable zone that we don't want to be in, but we can all see there's benefit there.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I think we're not going to change absolutely our behavior and say, hey, I'm going
to
change.
I desire to be there. Yes. That's my thing is I just can't see myself ever saying I desire to be there, but I also have the understanding of the importance of being there. I know it's important. And I know that that is where all of, if at least not the majority of real growth comes from, that refinement. So I know it's importance. I know I'm going to be in those situations. So I try to embrace them the best I can when I am in them, but I just can't see myself ever saying that I want to wake up every day and run to them.
Okay, but watch this. Watch this. So, and again, we're not talking necessarily a physical fight, but
correct.
This year, you're going to get into a fight. You're going to get into some argument or situation of pressure. What if you could pick it?
All right.
So instead of being rando or picking a fight,
oh, that's something good. That's a nice turn you took.
Instead
here.
Of it being just some random thing where you can be king of that mountain.
So it's the literal expression, pick your battles.
Yeah.
All right. So this is like pick your refinement.
What would be a worthy battle? And we're not going to be able to answer this. What would be a worthy battle for you to pick for 2025?
So this is that audit you're talking about.
Yeah.
We've come to the agreement. We understand that refining is necessary.
And it's in the fire.
Yes. Okay. So now you're saying, okay, obviously, conventionally, we wouldn't choose to wake up and say, please take me to the nearest fire that I could be burnt by because I know that I'll grow when I'm all done.
It's you choosing the...
But now you're saying, no. Instead of saying that, let's say, let me look for the places in which I know that I can grow, but the opportunity is worth me taking the stand over.
Yeah, like you're that piece of unshaped metal in the fire, and you chose the fire. And even more so, as God's pulling you out to the anvil, you say, God, I really want you to hit me with this hammer. You know what I mean? Make me, shape me into the thing, the person that you want me to be.
I think somebody hit you with a hammer on the way over here. So I think happened.
Yeah, man.
Now that makes some good sense, though. I like the idea of picking your battles because, I mean, conventionally speaking, there is always order after chaos, right? And chaos always does produce order.
Yes, but when you pick it, don't pick it based on the one that you know you can win. Pick it based on the one
you know it's going to produce the best fruit.
The one that needs to be won.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge difference.
Not necessarily the one you can win,
right.
The one that needs to be won.
Because sometimes we are, what was the saying I heard a long time ago, and it all makes more sense to me now. You know, God is looking for wicks to burn, and the oil is free. Mm. So in other words, some of those battles that we fight, some of those fires that we end, we are the fuel that is spent in the process to achieve an outcome that is good and godly and desired by all. We live in tumultuous times, and I don't think anyone would debate that. There's always, we're running from one chaotic moment to the next,
mm-hmm.
But it's really been this way for a long time, as far back as you can remember and beyond that. Like that's just human history.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we can look back on previous generations and see moments of prosperity and conflict, but even in moments of prosperity, which I would argue we're still in one, we live in the greatest nation still in the world. And the reason we get to live here and we are here is because there were men and women who chose to be in the fire.
Hmm.
They saw they acknowledge this needs to be, America needs to be. But they risked everything to do that, to accomplish that. And we would not be enjoying.
Well, look what they gained.
Yeah.
I understand, obviously, they didn't know that this is what they were going to ultimately gain, right? But they were willing to put it all on the line.
Say the analogy.
Oh, I'm trying to think exactly how it goes.
I know, me either. I can't remember. It's
something about planting trees that you won't see the shade from. I can't remember exactly.
Is it a nation prospers when the old men plant trees for a shade they will never enjoy? Yeah, something like that. It's something like that. It's awesome though. I probably did, but.
we both did.
But that's what they did is, you know, it wasn't guaranteed, but it had to be if any people were going to be free.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.